Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 34, and we'll start reading at verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads on a word of prayer. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight, Lord, to come and to worship and to bless and praise your holy name. God, as different saints would arrive, we pray that you would give them traveling mercies. Thank you for those that have already made it safely. And God, we pray that every heart would come under expectation, that you would just minister to our hearts and to our needs tonight. If there's one in here that does not know you in the pardoning of sin, Lord, may they come to know you as a Savior. There's one sick, Lord, may they come to know you as a healer. There's one bound in their spirit, may they come to know you as a deliverer. We ask, God, that you would move, amen, in this service. Don't let our gathering be in vain, but Lord, take control of everything that will happen. Bless every special. Lord, bless the word that will be spoken. Bless the word that is heard. Amen. And Father, may it produce fruit in our lives. We just trust that you have your way in the service. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. Oh, all I have within me, I give you praise. Oh, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Oh, say, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Hey, and I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake. Oh, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Hey, I live for you alone. Every breath, oh, every moment. Hallelujah, Lord, have your way. Give me the verse again. Oh, my desire, hey, to honor you. Everybody say, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Oh, all I have within me, I give you praise. Oh, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Whoa. Lord, I give you my heart,
say I give you my hallelujah, and I live for you alone. Every breath, Lord, every moment I'm awake, hallelujah, have your way in me. Say, Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you my soul, hallelujah, and I live for you alone. Every breath, every moment I'm awake, oh, have your way. Say, Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, and I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, say, Lord, have your, one more time, say, Lord, whoa, hey, and I live for you alone. Every breath, oh, every moment I'm awake, oh, have your way in me.
Come on, give him praise tonight. Have your way in me, Jesus. Have your way in me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just worship him tonight. Let's invite his presence into this building. It's all right that we come to worship, but what good would it be if he didn't show up? Amen. Let's invite him in. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Let's sing with all of our heart as we ask him to come down tonight in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Say, Holy Spirit, rain on us. Oh, fill us with your power. Saturate us with your love, Holy Spirit. Whoa, rain on us. Sing with all your heart, say, Holy Spirit, rain on us. Well, Holy Spirit, let it rain on us. Fill us with your power. Fill us with, saturate us. Whoa, Holy Spirit, let it rain on us. Come on, sing with all your heart tonight. Everybody say, Holy Spirit, hey, rain on us. We need the rain tonight, Holy Spirit, let it rain. Hallelujah, fill us with your power, say, saturate us. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain. Come on, one more time, everybody say, Holy Spirit, rain on us. God, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, let it rain. Oh, fill us with your power. Oh, saturate us. Hallelujah. Say, Holy Spirit, rain. Everybody, sing after me. Say, rain, rain, rain on us.
rain on us. Say rain, rain, rain on us, rain on us. Say rain, rain, rain on us. Lord, rain on us. Say rain, 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 rain on us. Rain on us. Rain on us. Rain on us. Say rain, rain on us. Rain, rain on us. Say rain, fall, rain, fall. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Hallelujah, say Holy Spirit, oh, rain on us. Fill us with your power, say. Saturate us. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain. Oh, one more time, everybody say, Holy Spirit, rain on us. Hey, Holy Spirit, let it rain. Oh, pour out tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain on us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Rain, rain, rain on us. Rain on us. Rain, rain, rain on us. Rain on us. Rain, fall. Rain, fall. Rain, 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 rain on us. Lord, rain on us. 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 Holy Spirit, rain on us. Oh, Holy Spirit, hey. Hallelujah. Fill us with your power. Fill us. Saturate us. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, worship him tonight. Bless the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Everybody, bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord. Sing it again, y'all. Say, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Everybody, bless the Lord. Come on in. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Come on and come. clap your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands. Hey, clap your hands with me. Come on and clap. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Everybody praise. Come on and praise the Lord. We come to praise. Hallelujah. 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 Say hallelujah. Put those hands together. Let the musicians play. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord. Come on in. Hey, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on and clap your hands with me. Everybody clap. Come on and clap your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on one more time. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody worship him in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you turn around and greet your neighbor tonight? Say, it's so good to see you. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to try something new for you all tonight. Amen. The song I learned while I was in Africa. Amen. And it just says, I press towards the mark of the high calling. I'm pressing to reach my goal. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press, I press, I press. Now, when you all get to that part, this last part right here, I press, I press, I press. You got to press with me. All right, we're going to press a little bit. We got to press. Amen. Anybody pressing on tonight? All right, put those hands together. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press on to reach my goal. I press towards the mark of the high calling. Listen. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press, I press. Come on, do it. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I'm pressing on to reach my goal. I press towards the mark of the high. Come on, press. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press, I press. Say, I press towards the mark of the high calling. Say, I press. Say, I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press, I press. Sing it again. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I'm pressing on to reach my goal. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press, I press. Hey! I press towards the mark. Hallelujah! To reach my goal. Yes, I am. I press towards the mark. Let me see you press tonight. Come on. Come on. Glory to God. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press towards the my goal. I press towards the mark. Come on. Say it again. I'm forgetting. I forget those things which are behind me. I stretch myself towards the heavenly. I press towards the mark of the high calling. Say, I press, I press, and I forget those things which are behind me. And I stretch myself towards the heavenly. I press towards the mark of the high calling. Say, say it again. Come on. Hey, I press towards the mark of the high calling. Say, reach my goal. Say, I press towards the mark. Come on, young people. Hey. Come on, pray it for us. Put those hands again. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press to reach my goal. Yes. I press towards the mark. Come on, let me see you press. Yes, I do. Forget those things. I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. And I stretch myself towards the heavenly. I press towards the mark of the high calling. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press. I like that. I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. And I stretch myself towards the heavenly. I press towards the mark. Say. Hey. Glory to God. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press. Do it again, say. I press, I press, I press. I press, I press, I press. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. You don't have to be ashamed to let the devil know that you're still pressing on. Anybody still pressing on? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just prepare. We have a couple specials. Amen. Tonight, we want to get in with Andrew Smiley. Amen. If you would come at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me. Be I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Oh, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you, and you are my King. You are my King, Jesus. You are my King. Oh, you are my King. Oh, amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Andrew. We really appreciate that. And all I do, I just want to honor the Lord Jesus. The way I live, the way I talk, the way I conduct myself, I just want to honor the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sister Enos, amen. She has something for us tonight. Praise the Lord as she comes.
bless you. I wrote this poem when I woke up this morning. It's not perfected yet, so I wanted to share it with you guys. To everything there is a season, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to sow and a time to reap, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to pray and a time to fast and a time to speak. Through the different seasons, God is always there. Through the bad times, we often believe that He's not. He's that small voice that keeps us going on. We may only call Him when things are going dark. But when things are going right, He so seldom in our hearts. It is the reason we go through this season. We shouldn't see and question it. Just receive at His loving grace. The hard times you're facing, He will see you through. For He is an on-time God.
Yes.
I pray through the good times, we look at Him so we don't fade away. And let your love not grow dim for Him. Trust Him in the times ahead. Even when you don't know He's there, He's always there beside you, for He loves you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Sister Enos. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sharice and Sister Sarah. Amen.
Make my sins do.
Praise the Lord. That was wonderful. Appreciate that, Sister Charisse and Sister Sarah. Amen. Just turn around and tell your neighbor, say, what would life be if you ran out of chances? What would life be if you ran out of chances? It's a good question to ask yourself tonight. Amen. I trust that as we come into the house of the Lord, that are coming is to receive something from Jesus. Not just to come and see one another, but we come to see Almighty God. Amen. For that's all that matters tonight. And if you're on the fence, if you're not sure about your salvation, I pray tonight that God will bring you to a place of conviction. Amen. Where you will make the choice to serve Jesus with all your heart. Amen. Let's prepare for tithes and offering on tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the grace that you have given us, though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that I thank you. Come on, sing it one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. I can't repay from my heart. I would like to say that I thank you. Your heads bowed.
Lord, we thank you for bringing everybody out and keeping them safe. For those still on the way, we pray travel's mercy for them. For those that couldn't make it and wanted to come, Lord God, we pray that you would bless them anyway. Lord, we're here, and we're here, and we're happy to be here, Lord God, in your house one more time, Lord. We just pray that anybody here who doesn't know you and is feeling a tugging on their heart, Lord, doesn't understand what's going on, Lord, that they don't understand this is all about love, Lord God, that you are all about love, Lord Jesus, that you came, you died for them, Lord God, and Lord, we pray that everybody would just give cheerfully, Lord Jesus, out of their hearts, whatever they can, Lord God. They'll understand that you gave so much to us, Lord Jesus, and this is just a small token of appreciation, Lord God, giving back to you. We pray that you would be in the service, Lord God. Take over the service. Take over every instrument, Lord God, every hand, every mouth. That you would use your church, Lord God, tonight We praise your name, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that I. Thank you, oh Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Oh, and though I can't repay from my heart, I'd like to say that I thank you. Come on, just one more time with all your heart. Say thank you, sweet Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. Can't repay from my heart. I'd like to say, I thank you. Come on and clap those hands for the Lord Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I forgot to ask, did the church from Boynton Beach, did you all have a song tonight? Boynton Beach. Anybody? All right. Okay, come on, Sister Edith. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me, Lord. Whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Oh, don't do it without me, Lord. If you're healing in this season, don't do it without me, oh, don't do it without me, oh, Lord, it's a blessing in this season, don't do it without me, don't do it without me, oh, Lord.
That's your testimony. Say he kept me. God kept me. Is that your testimony? Now, I'm gonna tell you that's my testimony, because there's many times I thought about giving up, but he kept me. I said he kept me. God kept me. He kept me. God kept me, God. I wish somebody helped me sing it. He kept me, God kept me. Come on, sing it like you mean it. He, God kept me, yeah. Oh, he kept me, sing. God kept me, yeah. Nobody can do it but Jesus. He, hey, yes, he did. I'm glad about it tonight. Say he. He kept me. Yes, he did. When I thought about giving up, he kept me. God kept me. Come on, sing with all your heart. He kept me. God kept me, yes he did. Nobody did it but Jesus. God kept me, y'all. He kept me, he kept me. Yes he did, God kept me. Oh, I'm glad about it tonight. Oh, so I wouldn't let go. Oh, that ought to make somebody excited in this place tonight. Are we worshiping with young people that have experienced some trials? I'm talking about trials where the devil come and make you think about giving up. Make you think about quitting. And as soon as you're about to take your step to do what you're going to do, something just pulls you back. You don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you tonight, that's God keeping you. When you don't want to keep yourself, God can keep you. Come on, give him praise if he ever kept you. Hey, he kept me. That's what we say, God kept me. Hallelujah. God kept me. Hey, he. Thank you, Jesus. God. Thank you, Jesus. He kept me. God kept me. Let me hear the congregation say, he. Come on, y'all. Let the devil hear you tonight. Say, he kept me. Satan, you thought you could get me, but God kept me. I'm here tonight to let the devil know he kept me. God kept me. I'm here to give him the praise. He. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Come on, musicians. Everybody say, he. God kept me. Yeah, yeah. God kept me. One more time. One more time. He. God kept me. Oh, he kept me. So I wouldn't let go. Praise him tonight. Come on, praise him tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Everyone standing that can stand. So we just prepare to welcome Brother Reggie to the pulpit tonight. Amen. As he comes in his own special way just to speak to our hearts. I believe this service is set up for God to speak to you. Amen. Anybody want to hear from God tonight? Well, he's here to speak to you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you have need of, God is here to speak to that condition tonight. Amen. As we just lift our hands and bow our heads, let's sing this song, "This Is Your House. God, come and dwell." Hallelujah. This is your house. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. Father, come and dwell. This is your house. This is your house. A holy house of prayer. A holy house of prayer. Where the lost and the lonely, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your house. This is your house. Come and dwell. Come and dwell. Come on, let's sing it again. This is your house. This is your house. Father, come and dwell. And dwell. This is your house. Say, this is your a holy house of prayer. It's a holy house of where the lost and the lonely, where the lost and the bring their burdens and their cares. Burdens and their cares. This is your house. Come on, this is your house. This is your. Come and dwell. Come on, sing with all your heart. This is your house. This is your. Father, come and dwell. This is your.
God bless everybody. Amen. This is the house of the Lord. Amen. It's not, I hope that you all know that we're not talking about the four walls. And we're talking about our body now. That's the house of God. Amen. And that's where God dwells. And when we come here, we bring God here. Amen. This is God's house. God bless everybody again. If you would like to sit a little before we go to the Word. God bless everybody. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless everybody. Do you know what that means when someone bless you? Do you know? That's more than money. When someone bless you, it's like they give you more than $1 million. But you would be very happy if they give you $1 million. But when they say God bless you, you don't understand what does that really mean. But it's okay, until you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will understand. Because a lot of people say Jesus is the Christ. But brother, what I'm saying, they just repeat what the pastor says. But if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, Christ revealed himself to you personally, you won't really know that Jesus is the true Christ. It's the same thing for blessing somebody. Now, you may be going through something. If someone come around and say, God bless you, your problem got to be, you know, be gone. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, all knees shall bow. God bless you again. God bless you again. God bless you again. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you again. You have to understand that when someone bless you, what does that mean for you? Because you don't just come here just to come. You come to learn about God. You come to learn how to live for God. You come to learn to know when God speaks, how to listen, and how to receive the blessing. Because most of the time we miss God because you don't understand when He talks. Now, God doesn't only talk to the pastor, to the preacher, to mommy and daddy. He talks to everybody. He can talk to you too. But you got to understand when He's talking. But most of the time we talk more. So we have to be quiet a little and let Him do the talking. I just want you to know that when someone bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, if you are sick at that moment, you are healed. Now, you might think that Brother Reginald is just saying it. No, it's the truth. I've seen it in my church. When you bless someone, that evil spirit can't stay. Why? Because the name of Jesus Christ is so powerful. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You might think it's a little funny. Even if the devil come and say, God bless you, better receive it. You better receive it. Because there is no blessing in the devil. Now, if he says, God bless you, that's because God wants to bless you. Now, God can use anybody He wants to. But we choose who we want to bless us. No, God do the choosing. Let Him do the choosing. Now, I don't care what kind of person he is, where he's coming from. If he comes to me and say, God bless you, I'm like, thank you, brother. I don't care how dirty he is. Now, you're trying to wait for someone to be clean and look sharp. Oh, yeah, that God is in him. That's where you're wrong. Now, I'm wearing this. That's because I come straight from work. I just want you to know that. Straight from work. So don't look at the suit. Now, if you can open your ear to hear from God, you will hear from Him. And before I go any further, oh, God bless you. I hope you like me. Well, you love me for the exhortation. I mean, for those who knows me, that's just how I am. I pray God gives you the gift of interpretation tonight, because you might not understand most of the words I say, because English is not my first language, as you can see. But I know Christ speaks all languages. For those who don't know me, my name is Brother Reginald. I'm from Barton Beach Church. And by the grace of God, through Brother Jackie, I'm here with you tonight. And I pray that we have a wonderful time tonight. Amen. I know God is already here. I bring my part. Now, if you bring your part, then here we have the fullness of God. Because on the day of Pentecost, God separated Himself. Now, Peter could not say he has the fullness of God. Because Mary could stand up and say, I have part of Him too. So, when Mary meet with Peter, they bring the fullness of God. Because God in you, God in me, when we get together, we have the fullness of God. The bride together, now, not, Brother Branham says, you can't, not one person can say, it's like Jesus Christ says, you know, God dwell in him, the fullness. No. But, in the body of Christ, since you have part of God, I have part of God, she has part of God, when we all come together, we have the whole fire. And that is why, if you have the fire of God in you, and if I'm like cold and trembling, I should be able to get warm. Thank you, brother. Because God is fire. God is fire. Now, don't get, you know, fooled when you hear a lot of people, when you walk by a church and you hear people talking or screaming or the way they sing, they dance. You oh man, that church is on fire. Right, no. A church is on fire, that's where the word is. The true revelation of the word. When it's in a church, that's when the church is on fire. But a church without the revelation of the word, it's not on fire. It's just a photo of a fire. Now you just have to understand that. Screaming, crying, running around doesn't mean you have God. Because somebody can just sit quietly or crying and you're like, what's wrong with her? Or what's wrong with him? But you just don't know what's in him. Power is in him. Because power is quiet. Power is humble. Jesus Christ was the humblest man on earth. But that man was the most powerful on earth. God bless you again. Maybe you don't know who my wife is. I would like to present to you my wife. If she can stand back there, that's my wife, Rebecca. And by the grace of God, she's pregnant. That's going to be our first. And also, before I do anything, open the word, I had a request from Sister Lenchina. I don't know if she is here today or if she already did it. She's not. Okay, then we will continue. God bless everybody again. Forgive me if you see I'm a little nervous. That's just because if it was in my language, you wouldn't be able to support me. Trust me. Now, if you all can stand with me while we read in Psalms chapter 66. Pray for me, please. I need it. Yes. Psalm chapter 66. Verse 10. 11. Verse 10, 11, and then we're going to read 16 and 20 to 20. It says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs." Verse 16. "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father God, here we are tonight, Lord, asking for your grace and mercy. Please, Lord, we ask you to anoint us. Lord, we can only read the word, but to get the revelation, it's from you. Please, Father God, come, take my mouth, take our ears, and speak to us. Because we're here tonight and we want to hear from you. We did not come here, Lord, just to have a good time. But we come here because we have need of something. Because we know and we realize that there's something that we cannot do by ourselves. And we need your help. Please, Father, come and help us tonight. Help us know your way, how to live true to your word. Speak to our hearts tonight, Father God. I pray you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A little subject tonight. Test and trial. Now, a lot of you, and I'm glad that most of us here, we are young. And many times you think that only grown-ups go to tests and trials. But that's not true. But you will not go to through test and trial unless you're not a child of God. Unless you never confess that you are a Christian, then you will not have test and trial. But the minute you open your mouth and say, I'm a Christian, then the devil is at you, brother. And I thought about this little subject because last Sunday I was talking to a sister in our church, a young sister. And she came to me and was talking to me about something. She was going through a lot at her school. She was crying. And I told her, I'm like, just remember, you are very important in the eyes of God. And she's like, but how can it be? I've done so much. I'm like, that's why he loves you. Amen. Because you know you had done so much. Right. Because if you did not know that, then something is wrong. Right. Because if you don't recognize your fault, right, if you don't recognize where you fall short, where you made a mistake, something is wrong. And God can't work with you. Church is not all about grown-ups. You are included in it. And the same thing that I would preach to grown people, I want to preach it to you too. I don't just want to come here and tell you, don't do this, don't do that. That's good. I have to tell you that too. But I have to tell you the exact thing I'll tell a grown man and a grown woman. I would have to tell you the same thing I tell your parents. Right. Because if you say you are a Christian, the same things your parents are going through, you're going to go through them too. Yeah. But most of the time, we don't really think about that. Man, no. I'm a young kid. And I should live freely. Live my life to the fullest. Do everything I want to do. But that's unless you're not a Christian. But I'm going to tell you something now. You don't have to be a Christian. But because you know this message, you become a target. That's right. Just because you know this message. Yeah. Just because your parents bring you here. Yeah. Now you become a target to the devil. Amen. You don't have to be a Christian now. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're a visitor, you are as much as responsible as I am. Because it doesn't take much. Because what you're going to hear or what you are hearing tonight is enough to take you to God. What you are hearing tonight is enough to change you. And some people might, sometimes they think you need the whole preaching. No, you don't. All you need is one word from God. And you know what's funny? Sometimes, people most of the time, they think that they can only hear from God when only the preacher comes behind the pulpit. But that's not true. through a song, God can speak to you. And that is something I always tell when I'm at my church home. Now when you come to church, since you don't know where God will meet you, now you need to open your ears to everything that's going on in the church. From the first prayer to the last word. From the beginning of the service to the end. Because nobody knows where God will meet them. No, you don't. I don't. But we have to be ready. It's the same thing. Nobody knows where death will meet you. Now, if you're a visitor tonight, now that was an appointment God had with you. And tonight, you have the choice to either take life or take death. Everybody on earth will come before that choice. No exception. Because the Bible says, God, Christ will not come back. Or should I say the rapture will not take place before that word is preached to every corner in the world. That's what the Bible says. Bible doesn't say when you just hear wars and all that is in it. But it says the end will come when the word enter every doors. Now, coming here tonight, don't just think I'm just coming to church, just, you know, to be with my friends. My friends invited me. But I'm going to tell you, no, something you didn't know. It was an appointment God had with you. And God wants to show you His mercy. Now, you might used to live your life, with no problem, but I'm going to tell you tonight, your problems start tonight. Just by being here, brother. The minute you cross that door to come here, that's when your problem started. Every one of us. Now, I'm talking now to the visitors, whoever you have invited. It's the same thing I'm saying is for you too. Members of this church or my church, whoever you come from. Every time you come to a service, every time you go to a church, every time you hear to a message, every time you listen to a preacher, or every time a song speaks to your heart, the devil is right there. Wants to take that away from you. But one thing though, while you're in here, he can't do anything to you. No, he can't. Why? Because Christ is here. But make sure, when you're leaving out of here, make sure that Christ lives with you. Because what you're going to hear from here, when you get out of there, the devil will take it away from you. Just as easy as. Amen. Because it's the law of life to go through tests and trials. Tests and trials. A bunch of people are asking themselves, now I hear that in the world. Now, when two people are just living together, like a man and a woman, they're just living together. You know, that's what Brother Branham calls free love, for your information. I know you know that already. Now, a man and woman, they are living together. God bless you, sister. You know, so, when the minute they are married, now I'm talking about pagan, I'm not talking about Christian people now, those pagan people, they might be living for 10 years with no problem whatsoever. They love each other so much that they can't stay away from each other. They won't go like one sec. They are working. They're calling each other. Honey, how you doing? Where are you? What you doing? I'm talking about pagan now. But the minute they are married, everything changed. Why? Because marriage is of God. And it doesn't matter if it is a Christian marriage or a pagan marriage. The devil hates it. It don't matter who's married. He hates it. He hates it. Everything, whatever that God says, he wants to do the contrary of that. He wants to make you do the contrary of what God says. Now what you hear tonight is life. It's life. The word is life. But it's life while you are here in the atmosphere. But the minute you walk out of here, now the devil is going to tell you, man, he was just talking. It was just another preacher. It was just another preacher. That's when you come to the place to make your decision, brother. Are you going to listen to the devil? Are you going to say, no, I rebuke you, Satan? What you were saying was nothing but the truth. And God was talking to me. That's when your tests and trials really kick in. Now the devil is waiting. I'm not trying to make you scared now. But what I'm telling you is the truth. While you in here, he can do anything to you. And that's a fact, brother. What Jesus says, death can't be. Jesus had to leave Lazarus' house for Lazarus to die. But while the minute Jesus come back, life come back in. There's life here. Life. Life. But as long as you're in here, because I come here, I did not come by the original. I bring Christ to you. Now because Christ is here, the devil can't do you no wrong. Not just because I'm here, but I'm going to tell you something. This is what I believe. As long as I'm standing behind this pulpit, brother, the devil has no right on nobody in the church. That's my belief. Devil has no right on nobody. I don't care how sick you are, but the minute you come here, or the minute the preacher come behind this pulpit, that sickness must leave you. Now you might feel in your body you're still sick, but the spirit that was in that already left. But you don't know it. You don't know it. You don't know it. Every one of us here, every one of us are healed. Whoever was sick here, you are already healed. Why? Because when you came here creating the atmosphere, it cast away every demon. Now, not the preacher that brought the atmosphere, because if you did not bring it, it won't come. You have to bring the atmosphere. You have to set the scene for Christ to come down. At the minute you set the scene, now demon will start to flee. And I want you to know tonight, it's not only mom and dad that has power over the devil. Or the preacher. Or my pastor. No matter where you are. I don't care if you're at school or at work. If someone comes to you and says, oh man, you know what? I have a headache, man. I mean, I've had it since, it's been 5 days. I don't know what to do. That's Christ brought that person to you. Now, you don't know it. You don't know it, so in Christ brought him to you. Why? Because God wants to show through you who you are. Now, a lot of people don't know who you are. Not even you. Not even you. But who are you? What are you doing here? I'm going to tell you this. The word comes to the word. Now, that might be too hard for you, but I'm going to see if God going to help me to break it down for you. The word comes to the word. Now, Christ come to Christ. Simple. A dog goes to a dog. You will never see a dog wants to go mingle with a cat. They're always fighting. But a cat likes another cat. Right. Wants to be with other cats. Right. Now, take that natural. Put it in the spiritual. I'm going to tell you again. By being here tonight, that was an appointment. And God had an appointment with nobody else but the Word. But the Word. The reason why you're going through tests and trials, even if you are not a Christian yet, that's because there is something in you that you never knew. But you will come to recognize it, but God had to bring you, to draw you to Him. Now when you come to God, you will start to realize there was something in you that you never knew before. Because let me tell you this. If the words come to the Word, who are you? Who are you? The Word. Are you the Word, Willie? Then if you are the Word, you know what the Word is? The Word is God. The Word is the Creator. Now don't just say the Word lightly now. I'm not just talking about the Bible. When I'm talking about the Word, I'm not just talking about the Bible. That's the written Word. I'm talking about the Word quickening. Now if you are the Word, Christ come to you. That's not because, listen, Bible Adam says, if you were not a seed, there is no miracle that will make you become a seed. There is no miracle. No. You had to be a seed from the beginning. Now if you were a seed from the beginning, it was just there, sleeping. Now, God, which is light, had to come down and he and strike that seed and make that seed come to life. Now, there is no miracle that can turn a lobster to a fish. Not even God himself can do it. Whoa, that's strong. Why? Why God can do it? Because he already said, this is a lobster, this is a fish. Not even God himself can do it. But what I'm talking about, he just took an example, and he talks about John Doe. He says, back then, God thought about John Doe. It was just an example. And God spoke and said, let John Doe be.
Amen. Amen.
And Bible says that John Doe, now it was a thought.
Amen.
And that thought from behind, from in the back of his head,
right,
goes in his mouth.
Right.
From his mouth, that thought become a word.
Amen.
Now John Doe is not the body, the flesh you see.
Right.
I want you to understand that. Because when God spoke and said, let John Doe be, what happened? That word is being spoken.
Glory. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
And now, Brother Branham says it might take 1,000,000 years for it to come to pass.
Yes.
But that word,
amen,
when it was spoken,
right,
from that time, that word is looking and seeking for something. And what happened? Now, when that baby comes,
yeah,
mommy and daddy never knew they would call the baby John Doe.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
Mommy and daddy never knew. Now, mommy and daddy say, oh, John Doe will be the name of my baby.
Come on.
Now, the minute they say that, that Spirit of God that was looking for that seed,
amen,
it just came right to that baby.
My.
One more thing. There might be 1,000 John Doe being born the same day in the same hospital. But that word will go to the Word. It don't matter how many John Doe there is in the hospital, but the Word of God will seek nothing but the Word. I don't care how many Reginald there can be in the world, but when the Word of God is spoken, it'll come straight to my heart. I'm going to give you another example. Lazarus was dead for what? 4 days. Brother Branham said something. He said when Jesus went to the grave, and then if Jesus said, come out, what would happen? But I want you to understand something now. He called Lazarus by his name. But what does that mean? Why? Because it don't matter how many Lazarus in that same tomb. There can be 15 Lazarus in that same tomb. Maybe before Lazarus, there was a million Lazarus died. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, what happened? One man come out. Why one man came out? That was because the word recognized the word. Can't be nothing else, brother. Now you see this. I don't care if you're dead. You are a word. You're just laying there waiting for that cry. Because God, brother, says in the Bible, when God spoke, the dead in Christ will come out. But it doesn't say everybody. But the dead in Christ. Dead in Christ are nothing but the words. Only the word will come forth, brother. Only the word will come forth. I want you to understand that when I'm talking about the word. But the thing is, some people might think they are the word when they are not. And Brother Branham says that's the greatest deceit that can happen in someone. We're living in a time where sin is more cunning than ever. Now, Brother Branham says before, when you say you are a Christian, you will die for it. But today, Brother Branham says the devil makes you believe you are a Christian and nothing will happen. And you know where that will lead you? To hell. Because you are here in the church, in a message church. Now, I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about a message church. Because a bunch of us believe as long as we are in a message church, we are good. We're good to go. We saved, brother. No matter what happens, we're going to the rapture. You're lying to yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Not because Brother Jack is your pastor, it means you're going to be raptured. That's a lie. And it's of the devil. But how would you know you are a word? How would I know I'm a word? It's simple. I don't have to cry, scream, run. Obedience to the word. Now, you thought it was going to be something big, right? You thought it was going to be something really hard, big and heavy. No, brother. Obedience to the word shows who you truly is. Example. Cain and Abel. Cain. Well, probably people in my church hear me talk about Cain so much. God bless you. Cain came before God. God told him what to do. And I want you to understand something too. God loved Cain as much as he loved Abel. I don't want you to believe that because God knew Cain was going to do this. That, so no. He loved him just as much as he loved Abel. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, God didn't like Cain. That's a lie. Then he's not a good God. He's not just if he hated Cain. And the Bible shows you that he loved him. Now, if you had to see in black and white, God loved Cain, that's wrong. You are not going to see it. That's right. And you will never see it. And that is why you need the eyes of the Spirit. Yeah. To understand when you read the Bible. Yeah. And Brother Branham says, until you learn how to read in between the lines, you will never get the revelation. That's right. God came down. He did not send nobody to talk to Cain. He came down himself to talk to Cain. God himself. He did not send Adam. He did not send Abel. He did not send Eve. All trees. Angels. No. He came down himself and talked to Cain. Now if you want, you can read it. Genesis chapter 3. And he told Cain, Cain, now I see sin is after you. But this is something very strong now. He told Cain. And remember, Cain was the seed of the serpent. Right? But listen to what God told him. You can read it when you get home. Genesis chapter 3. Just read the chapter. Chapter 3 to chapter 4. God told him, Cain, I see sin is after you to get you. But Cain, you have power over it. Now that was the seed of the serpent. How can the serpent seed has power over sin? But God told him, you do. None of us here is the seed of the serpent. Since after the flood, it was all gone. Now, if you understand the Bible, you will know that that's the truth. Since after the flood, all seed of the devil were gone. Now, if we're talking about seed of the serpent, it's spirit, not flesh. It's spirit, not flesh. Now, we're talking about flesh. Cain was the seed, flesh and spirit now. Okay? But God told him, you had power over it, Cain. But you know what Cain did? If Cain was the word, what would the word do at that time? Obey. This is what Cain did. God told him, how don't you do just like your brother did? And I receive you. God told him, I will receive you if you do this. He didn't say, don't do that. No, God just told him straight up, this is what you have to do to come to me. He turned around and killed his brother. Another thing that shows you was not the word. There was nothing in him that was of God. When God came down again and asked him, Cain, what happened to your brother? Where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Now, if Cain was the word, would he do that? Now, you're saying, yes, you are the word. Where's the obedience? Actually, that's where I wanted to come to. You are the word, right? Where's the obedience? Why do you have to stop your foot every time your parents talk to you? Even if they are wrong, you're not supposed to do that. You know I love you, right? I'm going to tell you why you would know someone loves you truly. That's when they can tell you when you are wrong. But if you have a friend, he can hide for you, help you to do, you know, and you know it's wrong, and you will tell you, that's my best friend, then something is wrong with you. Amen. You need to be converted. Amen. You truly need Jesus. Amen. Sometimes you'll be playing around, oh, you need Jesus. No, no. You need Jesus, really, when you think that friend that's hiding everything that's wrong you do is your friend. That's when you need Jesus. Now, we all know what the message requires of us. But where's the obedience? Now, man, I got to go chill with my boys. That's my girls. I don't care how many times you've been baptized in this message in water. But you went in that water a dry pagan. You come out as a wet one. And worse than you were before. And I'm going to tell you this again. If you think that your best friend is of the world, then you are not a child of God. Because your best friend cannot be a pagan. Why? There's nothing in common between us. I did not want to go that way. I really wanted to talk about tests and trials. We might come back to it. But if your friends in life is your best friend in life is a pagan, something is wrong with you. I don't care if you speak in tongue. I don't care if you have dreams. I don't care what you have. But I don't even care if you meet with God face to face. You're a pagan. And the person you met face to face was not God. Because if you truly met God face to face, your desires will change. Your friends will change. Everything about you will change. The devil can be an angel of light too. His name is Lucifer. Every time we talk about Satan, no, he's Lucifer. God did not take away that name. Not the light. He still have that light to deceive you. But if you don't know truly who you are, he will deceive you. And that's why I want to tell you, don't just say you are the word when you don't really know what that is. Because the word will recognize the word. And if you are truly the word, and brother Branham says something, the devil is after the word. Yeah. Now, if you are the word, he's after you. Yeah. He wants to get you. That's when your battles start. The minute you recognize who you are, it's war. In every point of your life, the devil will attack you. And don't think you're too small or too young for him to attack you. And he does it better with you than anybody else. Why? Because do you know that you are the future of the church? Do you know that? Do you know that? God knew it so much. He said to the Israelite, when they go to Canaan, they have to kill even newborns, babies. Do you understand what that means? Because if they don't kill those kids will grow up to be, they are the future of that land. Now, God can't just kill the grown-ups because something worse will come after. Because the kids will grow, they will become men and women. They won't stay little. But God knew that the strength of a nation is in the young, the kids. The strength of this church is in you. You are the strength of this church. But if the devil can destroy you, there's no church. Now, you might think, oh, mommy and daddy are good Christians, but what about when they're not here? What happened to this church? It's gone. It's gone. The strength of every church is the young people. And that is why I don't just want to, you know, handle the sword with, like, you know, I don't want to cut you too much. No, I will cut you. I cut you just like I cut a grown up. Why? Because God cut them little babies like he would cut a grown man. When God went to Canaan, he did not say, oh, have pity on this one. No! He said, kill them! Kill them! Even beasts. They kill animals. Because God don't want anything to stay that can cause a problem to his people. And the devil knows if he can destroy you, he won the war.
Amen.
He's going to win it. Now, why do you think all these musics in the world, they have one purpose? And it's like they're winning. But you know, by the grace of God, only the message has a little group. It's only in the message. Now, if you look at the denominations, they all go to church, but look at them. They come and praise God. Oh, yes, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then church is over, what? At 12? At 5, they go to the movie. Because having church is coming, got to see it. Hey, what? They're inside the church. They're sending notes. Hey, let's go after church. We're going to go see Avengers. After church, hey, let's go. But I said in the message, there's a little group. Why couldn't it be everybody? Because there's another group in the message that do the same thing. They're inside the church, writing notes. You would think it's about Jesus love you. No. No. And they're not about Jesus love you. Amen. Hey, did you know what happened to me yesterday at school? Come on. Man, if it wasn't by the grace of God, I would slap her. Kids that come to church in the message, they always want to fight somebody. There's a wrong spirit in you. Do you have a mental faith? Just like you believe it in your head. That's how you believe the message. But if it was in your heart, it would have been different. You would have been the peacemaker. Not you want, no. No. If he has a problem with your friend, he has a problem with you. You need Jesus. I hope I'm not taking too much of your time. But one thing, the one that's truly is a seed of God, until he recognizes it, he will be just as brute as anybody else. But the minute God strikes that seed, he will not be the same. If at school you are popular, you ain't a Christian. If I'm talking to, if you know you are here, you are popular, and you are still in the church, you are twice of a son of the devil or a daughter of the... Because a real seed of God will not be popular. But what I'm saying here, you will be looked down, not up. But if everybody loves you in that school because you dress nice, you friend, you this and that, you always thought, oh man, look at, oh, I want to be like her. Not for the good reason. All the boys see her. Yeah, they didn't look at her. Look at that. And then Sunday morning, they come here with long skirts. Come take the mic with the beautiful voice. An angel voice. Oh Lord, I need you now. But when you are at school, you are of the devil. If your desire was to be popular, I'm sorry for you. You're closer to hell than you think. You are closer to hell. Why? Just because you know of the message. Because you should have never, ever known this message. But the minute you know this message, there's something after you. God is after you, and the devil is after you. And either one of them will catch you. But let it be God, not the devil. But I'm going to tell you when the devil catch you, and you don't even know it. Because you might think when you come here, you cry. A little song make you cry. Or while you're singing a song, you cry. But when you're at school, you curse like, I don't even know. The devil is not after you. He's got you. And God is out of the league. He's out of the league. Why? Because somebody else already got you. But that's how it is. Because if God would have got you, the devil is out of the league too. He would have been. But what I'm saying is, Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He's here knocking, but he's not going to come in until you open. And you know he's talking to you. But I hope this church tonight, service tonight, is not just funny, but it speaks to your heart. He's here knocking. And you know where you're wrong, he's knocking. He's knocking. He doesn't have to call you out personally. Because I remember Brother Branham preached. After he was done, there was a lady that came to him. Oh, today it was a beautiful sermon. Oh, yes, preacher.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Come on.
Because, but when I'm looking at her, I'm like, wow, she must be a real Christian.
Yeah.
But Brother Branham had to ask. Brother Branham went to somebody and asked about her. Who's that sister? And the lady said, you know why she said that? That's because you did not touch her subject. You did not talk about her problem or touch her sin. She was the happiest woman ever. Now, God doesn't have to touch your sin. But while he's preaching about somebody else's sin, he's showing you yours. And you know it. You know it. Because you're thinking about it right now. Because you're thinking about it. And now there's something you gotta do. It doesn't have to say about you, about no. Jesus Christ was on his way to raise Jairus' daughter. But there was a lady. God, Jesus Christ was not on her way. He was on somebody else's way. But it's like he spoke to that lady indirectly. She came to Christ. Came from behind and touched him, and she was healed. He doesn't have to come to you, but if he's here, there's a chance for you to be healed. I'm not talking about physical healing now. I'm talking about spiritual healing. I'm talking about your soul. Because while he's talking about somebody else, and you know something is in your mind, you're thinking about it, and I know you're thinking about it. Doesn't have to say what it is. That's how good he is. And he wants you to act upon it. Don't just come to church just to come. Like, it's just Sunday, Friday night. I know you hear that all the time, and it's true. But maybe when you hear it, it doesn't strike your heart, really. But one day, somebody will say it one more time. It will strike you so deep that you will change the way you come to church. Next time you will come, you'll come with expectation. And God will speak to you over and over again from then on. He will speak to you. Let me read a quote for you. Trying to go back to what I said we were talking about. And presuming, message called presuming. God said, you've got to have a battle. He didn't say, you don't have to. You've got to have it. It's a must. There's no way out of it. And another thing, it ain't your choice. It ain't your choice. You did not make the choice. He made it for you. Yes. Why? Because, let me finish reading, then I'm going to tell you something. You've got to have a battle. If everything comes lazy, what are you overcoming? Amen. What you are thinking right now that you know that's wrong, what that you're doing, is a battle. And God wants you to realize it's a battle. You either fight it or give in. It's a battle. Because you know what to do and what not to do. You've heard that too many times. What are you overcoming? You've got to overcome something. And you've got to have some obstacles. That's if you call yourself a Christian. Because if you do not have battles, if you don't have obstacles, question your Christianity. But believe it or not, Brother Branham was a true prophet. And he still is. And people that different and force with you and tell you holy rollers, whatever they call you at school or at work, wherever you are. If you haven't got that, then you are not even in the battle. Right. Come on. Now, I'm not talking to grown-ups. That's a youth meeting. All right. And this is for you. Yes, sir. You say you are Christians. Amen. Then if you do not have a battle, right. Something is wrong with your testimony. Amen. Something is wrong with your testimony. Your parents will have battles. Preachers will have battles. Even the 7-year-old, he calls himself a Christian, he will have his own battle too. In hell, 7-year-old in hell. Why? They're disrespecting their parents. I don't, as long as, but when I'm talks about the age of accountability, right? That's when you know what's right and wrong. That's when your battles start. Why did you join the army and get training for? To lay around, strut up, and down the street and show off? That's the way some Christians act. That we want to be looked up. You ain't going to be looked up to. You're going to be looked down on. For all that live godly in Christ, Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, if you truly, really want to live a Christian life, that's when you really gonna know who your friends are. That's when you truly will know who your parents are. Now, you might say, oh, my parents are Christian. Yeah, I know they are. Ain't no doubt about it. But did you know that the devil can go through them to attack you? Even they are Christians. And the same, it's vice versa. He will test you through your parents. He will test your parents through you. Same thing in the church. The devil, God will allow, it's just, you know, the devil ain't got no power now. God allowed it. Because God wants to bring you to a place. Now, in the church, the congregation can be a challenge to the pastor. They can make that man go through so much that he's asking himself, who are these people? I don't know what kind of people I'm leading, but hey, they don't listen. You tell them not to do it. They come to you asking for advice. It's like you ain't talking to them. You are not talking to them. Why would you come to somebody for advice when you know you're not going to take it? Do what you wanted to do. They come to the pastor for advice, and then they turn around, shoosh, because it wasn't good for them. It wasn't what they wanted to hear. Now, if that pastor is not a true man of God, he will curse you. He will call fire down from heaven on you. That's true. Because there was a guy in the Bible, he forgot that he was a pastor. He called fire down from heaven on kids. Oh, wait, not kids. People that come and look for him. And another one that was a pastor, he forgot also he was a pastor. He cursed them that a bear. Boy, Barnabas says that wasn't the will of God. He lost his control. Now, if that pastor can't control himself, his anger, we got a problem. And that pastor needs Jesus too. Why? Because my Bible says a pastor how he has to be. Temperate. You know, very slow to anger. It don't matter how many times he talk to you over and over and over again. Not everybody can be pastor. And that is why a lot of churches are broken down. Man, these people, and then they leave. Dead serious, it happens. Why? Because congregation don't like them, they hate them. And they can't control, because they were not called to be a pastor, then they leave. But that pastor, truly called of God, no matter what the congregation is going through, and no matter if the congregation turned against him, he will not leave. Yes, sir. He will not leave. He will leave unless God told him to leave. Because it can happen. Because it says in Revelation, if you don't repent, I'll take your light away. I'll take it. Your candlestick is who? Your pastor. You don't want to repent? You don't want to obey? He will be patient with you. Not the pastor. Now, God will be patient with you. But God will take him away? That's the Bible. And the Brother Branham also says, God, not the devil, God can turn the pastor against you. What would you do then? What would you do then when he turned the pastor against you? I thought this man was supposed to be a spiritual man. Look how he's talking to people. You start to, oh man. He's going to get it. Thought he was a spiritual man. That's it. Do you guys know about Anna? In the Bible? Yeah. Anna? What? Yeah. Hannah? Thank you, Hannah. You guys know about her? Yeah. Do you know her pastor disrespected her? Yeah. How did she react? Yeah. She didn't get, you know what? Lord, I'll be back. Because this man, it sounds funny, but it's true. Yeah. He disrespected her. Man, you need to stop drinking, woman. But she was so full with the Holy Ghost. Because that seed of God in her. That's truly a seed of God in her. She looked up and looked at him. She said, your servant. What? Is she a human? Some of us will be looking at her like, it can only be you. Hey, it can only be you. Because you're going to be looking at her like she's unhuman. What kind of person? Huh? Did you hear what he just said about you? It shows that you haven't got the Holy Ghost yet. But she rose up and said, your servant is crying in her heart to God. Why? It wasn't because she was going through trials and tests. She wanted God to take them away from her. No. She was praying for God to make her, help her to go through them. That's what she was praying for. But how? Because her rival was after her. And then she went and prayed, God, look at me. I'm not suffering because of what she's saying, but I'm suffering because your word has not been revealed, not revealed. Your word has not been shown in me yet. Because women back in the days, it was precious for them to bring children. And until they see that happen, they will not rest. They will not rest. They will pray night and day to see that they can fulfill that word. Now we have to bring forth a child too, and that's Christ in us. But now we worried much about our name and reputation than what they think about Christ in us. It's not about Christ, it's about us. Because you don't want people to talk bad about you. But it don't matter if they're taking the name of Jesus Christ in vain. You ain't going to say nothing about it. But let somebody say something about your name. I'm going to show him. But what about the name of Jesus Christ? What about his name? Ain't nobody care. Tests and trials, they come to everybody. They come into you. And if you don't have them yet, you better go pray and ask for them. Because you ain't going to the rapture. That's true now. That's true now. Because he's going to look for that mark, you know. Because if you're coming from war, scars. If you're coming from war, there's got to be scars on you. Because, and you're going to get to heaven like, oh yes, I made it. Made it. How did you get here? Through what? Did you go through trials and temptation? No. You were just hiding. And you know what happened? Just like they're saying about, where is your robe? How did you get in here? This is what the Bible says. They kick him out. You ain't even going to make it up there. You're just not going to know when the rapture happened. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Brother Branham says in a message called Shalom, he said, and when somebody begins to make fun of you, say, she's old-fashioned, look at him. Branham says, all right, just remember, it's growing pains.
Amen.
That persecution's good for you. Ain't nobody like, want persecution? Do you want it? Hey, you know what persecution is? It doesn't have to be physical only. The way they talk about you, you're being persecuted. Because every day you go to school, they're talking bad about you. But unless you remember that there's a seed in you, then you go back and talk about them too. Persecution is good for you. It's growing pains. Oh yes, he permits crosses and crossroads and junctions. He always does that in order to perfect us for his service. Now this is the reason why you have to go through tests and trials. Because you can't be perfected without them. You can't be perfected without them. Can't go anywhere in Christ without them.
Amen.
No matter how much you say you are a Christian, but until you're being tested for what you say, you're not going anywhere.
Glory.
You're not going anywhere. You have to have tests and trials.
Yes, sir.
Your test may not be the same way I'm going through my test, but there got to be some. Now, don't let nobody tell you, I mean, that's nothing. No, that's nothing for you. But it might be a Goliath for me. No, don't ever let people tell you, what's going on, man? That's nothing. You should know what I'm going through. What you're going through is your problem. And you have to go through it and let me go through mine. If you go to somebody and you're telling them about your problems, and then they're looking at you, that's nothing. Should hear about so and so. No, that was so and so. That's me now. So and so had his problem. I don't care how he went through it, what happened, but now it's my turn. And I need to know, what should I do? Don't be looking at my problem like they're nothing. There may be nothing for you, but there's something for me. Because my problem may not be as big for you as they are for me. And even if you bring them to your pastor may not see them the way you see them. And that is why they call it personal battle. That is why it's called personal battle. Because it's a personal walk with Christ. It's not with you and your family, you and your pastor. No, it's you and Christ alone. That is why what you're going through, sometimes you got to go down on your knees and pray about it yourself. Yourself. And I know sometimes you're looking for someone that can understand you. No, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Only Christ can understand you. Oh no, you should be able to understand me. I can't understand you. I'm sorry. And you can't understand me either. And the Bible says Christ knows you. That means he can understand you. Now someone can try to understand what you're going through. No, only Christ truly knows you and understand you. Why? Because he brought it to you. I'm not saying don't look for someone that can understand you. But I'm going to tell you, many times you do it the wrong way. You look for a person before you look for Christ. No, Christ must be first. Look for him first. When you seek him, he'll come and meet you. When he meets you, then he's going to send someone that can understand you. Don't be going out looking for people. They don't know you. And that's why most of the time your problems become worse. Because you don't know who to bring it to. It's a personal walk. It must happen. Sorry. God, Brother Branham says in the same message, he did Daniel that way. You know? He did the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Thank you. Why? What did the fiery furnace do? What did it do? The fiery furnace only what? That. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Sometimes God brings you tests and trials for no other reason. Hallelujah. To separate you from your friends. That's what it means. He brought that down on you. He makes your friend turns against you. For what? It's not because that your friend don't love you anymore, but God says it's time to make a separation. It's time. That's what the fiery furnace do. Break the bands. You are so deep into that world, you don't even know it. But Christ had to bring down so much. He had to make you go through so much. And then you think your parents hate you. No, your parents ain't hate you. God is trying to take you to your knees. Because most of the time, that's what we think. When your parents talking, they nagging you. They talk so much over and over again. about the same thing. No. You're like, oh my God, I can't wait to leave this house. No. Oh my God, I have to go on my knees. That's what you need to do. I can't wait until I'm 18. No. God brought that on you to go down on your knees. Not to wait when you're 18 to leave the house. Or when I get a job, you ain't gonna see me. What about him says, stop looking at what's going on. Look at God's promise. That's all the furnace did. Just burn loose the bands. Sometimes it takes trials to break the bands of the world off of us. To take you out of the world. Being in church doesn't mean you're out of the world. You have the world in you. Possessing the enemy gates. He lets sickness strikes you. He lets disease come on you to test you and to prove you. When you're sick, I hope I find this, because I got to find that quote for you to tell, to show you what Brother Branham says. Sometimes when you're sick, what happens? He to test you and to prove to and to prove you, to show the world that you truly Abraham's the seed of Abraham. He permits it by his own will. Amen. Glory. He lets that come to you. He says yes. Sickness, just hit him. I want you to hit him. He permits disasters. Yeah. He permits the friends to turn against you. Right. Your best friend. Sometimes you say, I don't understand why my best friend could do that to me. That's God that did it. And that's your best friend. God did that. Yeah. Because now you're looking at your best friend. You forgot about God. No. Now start looking at God, not your best friend. And the reason why you're looking at your best friend, but God, that's because you don't remember you said that you are a Christian. You forgot you were baptized. You forgot you had to live a Christian life. And that's why you're looking at things the way you're looking at them. My friends do that to me. My mommy, my daddy. I don't understand this, man. I tried, man. Trying to be a good kid. No, ain't no good kid going to heaven. Ain't no good kid going to heaven. Christians going to heaven. Man, I don't know what to do anymore. God did it. You need to stop giving the devils too much credit. See, it's God. He permits all these things, not the devil. Turns the devil loose to tempt you. He turned the devil loose. The devil could not come after you if God didn't turn him loose. He'll do all that but take your life. Right. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. Right. And he can do most anything. And it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it's more precious than gold. That's right. Nobody really know how can that be precious than gold going through so much pain and suffering. That's not true. How can that be gold or precious than gold? But it is. Amen. It's trying to bring Christ out of you. Amen. That's why you're going through that much suffering. It's trying to bring Christ out of you. But young brothers, young sisters, until you see at your school or wherever you are, all those people that was, you know, admiring you, lifting you up, you need to ask yourself, am I truly a Christian? Are they doing it for the right reason? Is it because the life of Christ is showing so much in me that they love it? But that's not true. They couldn't do it. They would not do it. If it's because of the life of Christ, they will look at you like, man, trying to be a, what? You think you're a better Christian than anybody else? You're wearing skirt every day. What's wrong with you? It's hot, girl. Oh, it's cold. You got to wear some pants. Hot, cold. When you put both of them together, worse is hell. Hell is worse than that. It's hot. You have to wear that short or sleeveless.
Right.
Or wait. Your twins can show. No, because, you know, you have. If you want your twins to be, shown, it's a life from hell. And if you're talking about because it's hot, hell is hotter. And Brother Bottom says something. Never, ever let yourself go to that place. Because you do not want to be there. Don't want to be there. Don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Let me see if I can find. If in your life, because you're professing that you are a Christian, that, let me say this, even in the church, and you see all the kids love to be around you, question that.
Yeah.
Why? Is it because I'm so funny? They just love my jokes? Or is it because I'm a true Christian? Even in the church, remember the devil is slick. Well, it's kids in the church, but Reginald, what are you talking about? They're not pagan? We don't act like the world? But why do they truly loves you? Why did they look at you or they want to be around you? Is it because they feel so they feel free so much that they can curse you, don't tell them anything?
Well.
They can talk gossip, you don't tell them anything? Or they love to be around you because you love talking about the word?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
Yeah.
It can happen in the church too.
Yeah.
You are popular in the church. My kid, the kids, they love me in the church. But why? Why? Because it's hard to believe, but people love to feel free in the wrong way more than the right way. Man, when I'm talking to you, I want to feel free. Like I want to say, I don't want to feel like, I can't say. Yeah, I feel like I'm restricted. Yes, I'm a Christian. You have to feel restricted.
Yeah.
You can talk any kind of way with me.
Yeah.
And it's worse if you say you're a Christian. Then I'm expecting you to, to be restricted in your ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Why do they love you? But also, they can want to be around you. In the same church, they can be against you. Man, this brother think he's the only Christian here. This brother, this sister, he don't want to be around nobody. But now if you see too that you don't want to be around other brothers and sisters, you might be considered arrogant. You got to watch for that spirit too now. But if you don't want to be around certain brothers and certain sisters because they can't control what they're talking, what they're saying, it's the right thing.
Amen.
But if you feel like you are too much of a Christian, no. They I'm very holy now. Then you should have been raptured. If you are so holy, You should have been raptured already. Because it's both ways.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're watching both spirit.
That's right.
You just have to know how to balance it. You have to love to be with the brothers and sisters, because what I'm saying is it. It's the atmosphere around them that makes you want to be with them. And also the atmosphere around them makes you want to stay away. Now, you got to question yourself. Because you say you are a Christian, and the devil is after you. And the way he's going to come to you in the way you don't think. Thank you. You won't believe that's how he would come after you. The thing you love the most, he'll turn it. That in a way that you won't know. You won't see it coming.
That's right.
Eve did not see it coming. She had the word, but it just came around and twisted it in a way. And he killed everybody. Now, your life, God in one side is pressing you. It's like trying to get the world out of you. And the devil is on another side trying to take Christ out of you. You feel pressed because you're in the middle. And what I'm saying is, he talk about an Indian guy. He says, there is two dogs in me. Those two dogs always fighting. A white dog and a black dog. But which way you will turn to? Now, Christ, in a way, is trying to get you closer to him. And the devil also is trying to get you closer to him. They want the same thing. One is death. One is life. And I'm going to tell you this. Because your life, you see that if you're going through something, the reason why you're going through it, that's because Christ wants to bless somebody else. Now see, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody else. God is after somebody else, but he's making you go through it so that he can bless somebody else. I want you to understand that. And by the grace of God, we might close on that point. That is why if you see that you say you are a Christian and you are at ease, nothing is wrong. Remember, I'm not preaching to grown-ups now. To you. Nothing is wrong. Then something is wrong. Because the minute you start going through tests and trials, that's because Christ is aiming at somebody else. But you don't know it. I'm going to give you an example. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came, and the Bible says he went through pains that no man ever knew, right? But why? Do you ever ask that question, why? Oh, he just wanted to save me. True. True. But he didn't have to. He did not have to. But there's a reason why. He went through Calvary. Calvary is not an easy road. It's not an easy way. But Jesus Christ went to Calvary. Why? Christ, God was seeking after me. He was seeking after you. But he made Christ went through so much just to get me. I want you to understand that now. Christ went through so much just to get you and I. The reason why You see that you're going through so much. Christ is trying to get somebody else. That is why the Bible says, count them as joy. Now, when you're looking at your life, you're like, I don't understand. Everything I try to do, I can't. That's because Christ is after somebody else. And you are the way through to it.
That's all right.
Jesus Christ was a way for God to take you and I back to Him. And He's doing the same thing today with you. To get somebody else back to Him.
Yeah.
And that is why your life is the way it is. I'm not talking about a good life now. A sweet life. No. Now, Jesus Christ went through all that because of me. Your life, your tests and trials, your temptation. You cry all the time. Or why my parents is this, my parents is that. Why everybody is against me. And so Christ is after somebody else. And you are the way to it.
Amen.
You are the way. Jesus went through it so that Christ can bring us to Him. Now, today, I'm blessed not because of what I did, but because of what He went through. But when I'm going many places, and there was one that struck me. He went in a meeting. He prayed for a lady that was suffering. The lady was on her bed death. And God sent the prophet to the city. Do you know how long that lady was suffering? So long! There was an old man with his wife down in the valley because they were living at the top of the mountain. And they always go and help that family, you know, with the problem.
That's right.
But one day when the prophet came to the city and the prophet prayed for that lady.
Right.
And when they took her home, it was jubilee. Everybody was screaming and yelling, praise God.
Right.
And the old man down in the valley didn't know what was going on.
Right.
And he's like, what's going on up there? I got to go up there to see what's going on.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
He went up there. And he's like, oh, a bunch of, she's healed. He saw it. She was healed.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that. He saw it. She was healed. But that wasn't it yet.
Come on.
But later,
yeah,
after that event,
that's right,
God,
right,
sent the prophet back to the same city.
That's right.
But where exactly? To that old man's house.
That's right. There you go.
To do what? To go hunting. Because
right,
the man had a place where you can go hunting.
Right.
Now when the prophet went, that old man was an unbeliever. He didn't believe in anything which called God.
Right.
He hated the thought about God.
Right.
But he started to talk to the prophet.
Come on.
He started to talk to the prophet.
Right.
Now, and before the brother told brother, now don't talk about anything about, you know, preaching with him because he's not going to let us.
Yeah.
And the prophet says, then I guess we got a problem. Because
yeah,
if he starts, I'm going to start talking about it. And the prophet come out and started to talking to him. And then, all of a sudden, something pop up.
Yeah.
Something pop up. They were talking about trees.
Right.
And Brother Branham started to ask him a question.
Come on.
Now, how do you think that tree, when
winter
come, yeah, where that life, where do the life go?
Right.
Now, they started talking about trees now. Now, you got to understand this.
Right.
Now, and then he said, no, but that's just the law of life, a bunch of stuff. But I said, okay. If it's just intelligence, take a bucket of water and put it on top of the tree.
Right.
When winter comes, Let's see if it's going to go down to the roof.
Right. Come on.
Now, it started to be like, okay, so this man probably know what he's talking about.
That's right.
And he started asking now, are you a preacher? Yes, I am. Well, I heard of a man called Branham. He came to the city one day, and there was people up there in the on the mountain, and I should go help him a lot. They had somebody that was dying up there. And while the man came in the city, and I heard he prayed for her, and she's here. What's going on? Now, I want to see that man, because I'm going to ask him some question. And he's like, do you know that man? But you're talking to him. You him? Now, what happened? Brother Branham talked to that man.
Yeah.
Brother Branham says, now, he was not the one doing the talking.
Right.
It was the man started talking what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the man said, he accepted, he agreed that that was something special.
Yeah.
It was supernatural. Brother Branham said, now, the unbeliever started to preach to me now.
That's right.
Now, when he's talking about what was happening, and Brother Branham now started to witness back to him, do you know what happened? There, that day, he accepted Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Now, connect the dot together. Why did that woman have to go through so much? Why did she have to go through so much? It was in order for God to reach an old man. Way, way back there in the woods. But God had to strike somebody with sickness in order to reach somebody else. Now, your life is a target to the devil, true. But also God is using you to get to somebody else. Now, I don't know how he's doing it in your life, but I just want him to use me to get to somebody else. If I have to be sick, then let me be sick and get somebody else saved. If I have to go to tests and trials just to get to somebody else, let me go through it, Lord. Because I know you are after somebody else. Understand that story. I didn't understand it until God revealed that to me. Why? You know how long that lady was suffering? You know what she was going through? You don't know. And people were crying, getting ready for her death. But God said, nah, I didn't have, that was not the appointment.
Yeah.
I'm looking for somebody else through her. But how can I get to that old man down there? That's so hard to get to.
Wow.
His head was hard. His heart was hard.
Yeah.
God had to find a way to get to him.
Amen.
But he got to use somebody.
Yeah.
God has to have somebody. Now can he use you?
Lord.
Can he throw tests and trials on you? Because he's looking for somebody else. Don't just think it's only going out testify about God. That's all God knows. That's not, no. He works in many ways. While you're on your bed in the hospital, maybe you never know it's somebody next to you God gonna send. And you, while you're on that hospital bed, you're gonna witness to that person. It happened to Brother Dave. If you don't know who Brother Davies is, I mean, actually, you should know who Brother Davies is. That man had to go through sickness in order to testify about God to somebody else.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Davies may never thought about it like that, but that was his plan.
Yeah.
You had to suffer in order for God to talk to somebody else. Now, if they don't receive him, it's their condemnation.
Yeah.
Because somebody witnessed to them. But we just want to come to church, you know, as long as everything is fine with us. Who cares about the rest? But I'm going to tell you this. The God I serve doesn't see it like that. I don't know what you're going to have to go through, but you will go through something. You will go through something. And when you're going through it, just remember this. God wants to reach somebody else. That's the reason you have your tests and trials. Not just to perfect you to come to Him. Not just that. But He's looking for somebody else. And He has to go through you. He has to. The way to glory is the way to Calvary. You can't go to glory without going through Calvary. You can't. Calvary is the way. And it's not easy. It's the way. You can't go to Canaan land without going through the desert. There is a lot of stuff there. Now, I'm just praying that you guys understand why that I wanted to talk to you about tests and trials. It was to tell you that if you do not have them, you need to start questioning your Christianity. First and second, when you have them, you got to know the reason why you have them. Amen. To perfect you and to reach somebody else. Amen. And to reach somebody else. They're trying to be loved by everybody. They're trying to be loved by everybody. The love of God should be enough for you. But many times you think, man, that's pathetic. Just the love of God. So you don't say it. You don't have to say it. But your behavior, I heard that too much, man. The love of God. Yeah, it should be enough. It should satisfy you. And when you truly understand that, everything else should be easy. And you will not look at your friends, your church, your parents, your pastor the same way again. Because now you understand why you're going through that. You understand why God is making me go through this. Because I'm ready to testify to somebody else now, God. Do you want tests and trials or you don't? I want to close, but there is one. But what I'm talking about, I don't know if I brought it. But what I'm saying is when you pray for peace, He gives you problems. Oh, there it is. In a message called I Know. This is what Bodhibanam says. And why does God let troubles come? God harnesses trouble, puts bits in its mouth, and makes it obey Him. And those troubles bring us into a closer fellowship with Him. There had been no rainbow until the flood came. You can't see no rainbow before the flood. Noah never knew what a rainbow was until he went through what he went through. But after Noah was pressed into that condition that he was in, to float 40 days and night in a storm and the little ark pitching up and down in the water, it was after the flood was over that he saw the rainbow for its first time. The covenant of hope. The covenant of promise. After he went through the tribulation, then he saw the promise. So if you really want to see the promise of God, you got to go through the tribulation. Now, I don't think you can be blessed without tribulation. Christ says it's in the package. It's included in the package. He's not a salesman, a car salesman, giving you fine lines you can't read. That's going to kill you once you buy the car. No. If you come to Christ, Christ is going to tell you straight up, there's tribulation in the package. Now, a young man came to Christ. Let me follow. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Nobody want to pick up no cross. He tell you straight up. And he said, after he went through the tribulation, then he saw the promise. That's the way you see the promise. After you've gone through the tribulation. I've liked that poem of Psalms. Must I be carried home to heaven on a flowery bed of ease? While others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. This is what I wanted to read for you now. We ask for comfort and peace. God gives us the best He could give us.
That's all right.
Now we will see what it is now. Trials and tribulation.
Beautiful.
What a God. I'm praying hard for comfort and peace. And He gives me the best. And He's going to tell me it's tests and trials. Do you understand that? Don't think you're too young to go through it. We ask for comfort and peace. God gives us the best He could give us. The best.
Right.
What's the best, God? Trials and temptation. Now you need to, after today, you're going to have to look at them a little bit different now. Because you have to remember that's the best God could give us. The best. I thought He was a God of peace. Comfort. The comforter. Now, that's the best. This is what He says. Trials and tribulation. That's better than comfort and peace. You serious? Well, I know you understand this better than me because I don't speak English that good. And I'm glad this is in English. That's better than comfort and peace. Our comfort is just beyond the river. So as long as you're here, you will always fight. You will always have trials and temptation. It's a non-stop battle. It's beyond the river. It wasn't until the Hebrew children were forced into the fiery furnace on one of their most outstanding trials that they seen one like the Son of God stand among them. Their troubles produced the Son of God standing among them in the breeze to wave away the heat wave. Christ is waiting for you inside the fire. Not outside of the fire. If you don't want to go inside the fire, then you will never see God. You will never meet Christ. Where is Christ tonight? Inside the fire. He's inside your tests and trials. He's inside the tribulation. When you take your strength to go through it, you will meet Him. You will see Him. That's what produced Christ. Tests and trials produce Christ. And he said, their troubles produce the Son of God standing among them in the breezes to wave away the heat wave. Now, as long as you're standing outside of the fire, it's hot. It's hot. You can feel the heat. But once you step in it, Christ was already in it. It takes away the heat. But not until they went into the fire did that comforter appear. Now I'm going to let you with this quote. Now, if I were you, just like you like putting posters in your room, post that in your room. So that you can always remember, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you see, the best thing God can give me. Yeah. It's tests and trials. Yeah. It's not Dwayne Wade trying to dunk, or LeBron James, or the best model with the best dress. I don't know what you like, ladies. I don't know. You want to put that, oh, that's a nice poster. Put that quote. Big letters. Now, you see that John 4:23, the way they write it on the wall? You can do the same thing in your room.
That's all right.
So, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you turn on the light, the first thing you see, best thing God can give me. Tests and trials. When you know that, you will have a good day every day. Because you will know whoever comes against you, whatever comes against you, that's the best thing God can give me. Tests and trials. Jesus Christ bless you. While we turn to Brother Jackie so that he can finish, we can sing. Lord, I lift your name. Your holy name, Jehovah God Elohim, the great I am, the my comforter and peace. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We heard from heaven tonight. Amen. We appreciate Brother Reginald and just how the Lord just put that message in his heart. Just everything he brought out. Everybody here ought to got, you had to receive something. You had to receive something. And I tell you, you know, just every quote was lined up properly. That story that he was telling there about the infidel that Brother Branham ran into. I just finished listening to a tape this week and heard Brother Branham telling that story. And the one thing that came out of that story, Brother Branham said, the man said that he had went up to the house about 10 o'clock. And I noticed when Brother Reginald began to tell the story, it's right about 10 o'clock that he starts sharing the story. And I said, well, look at God. It was direct from God. Some things that you're going through, it might not be for you. Somebody else needs to hear the testimony. And the reason God gave it to you is because he knew that you could handle it. The other person might not be able to handle it, but you can handle it. He'll never give you more than you can bear. You believe that? Come on, let's just give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Well, I do want to give opportunity if there's anyone, amen, tonight that, just bow your heads, everybody, bow your heads. If there's anyone that's here that heard the word of God, you feel like God spoke to you and maybe you want prayer for something tonight, we want to not take this lightly. If you want prayer for whatever, we want to invite you to come and receive prayer tonight. There's one that does not know Jesus in the pardon of sin. We want to invite you to receive the Lord Jesus tonight. The trials will come, but the only way that we're going to overcome is by having the Lord Jesus living on the inside. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we want to invite you tonight. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. This is a moment of deliverance. This is a moment of freedom. Nobody looking around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to invite you tonight. If you want to let go of some things tonight, you want to leave it right here at the altar, you come tonight. Hallelujah. You can be free tonight. You do not have to hold on to it anymore. Let it go tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you see, Father, these hearts that have come. Lord, there may be others, Lord, still coming. You see these hearts, Lord. You see, amen, what your people are going through. They have heard the word of God. They're responding to the word of God tonight. God, if there's one here that needs salvation, I pray that you would save them. There's one here that needs deliverance. I pray that you would bring deliverance. God, whatever the need is tonight, we ask you to meet your people here at the point of their need. God, if there's some that want to leave their burdens, they're bringing them to the Lord. You told us to bring them. Lay them at your feet, God. Lord, they're bringing them tonight. And they're picking up, amen, where they left Jesus. And God, they're going forward from here. Oh, God, let it be sincere from your hearts. I just trust, God, that you do a mighty work in every heart and in every life. May they leave here with the greater one living on the inside. Oh, God, they have power to overcome the enemy. Lord, Satan is just too wise. He's used these tricks on too many people for too many years for us to be any type of, Lord, challenge to him. But, God, we know that if we have you on the inside, we're greater than he is. I pray, Lord, that you just look upon each heart. God, as they surrender themselves to you right now, surrender their thoughts, surrender their ideas, surrender their ways, surrender everything to you right here in this place. God, we commit them, Father. These are trophies of the message that was delivered here tonight. We thank you, Lord. If there's any others in this seat, Lord, that want to be free, God, I pray that you would set them free right where they are. Don't let them leave here the same way they came. We commit them now into your hands, Jesus. We commit them now into your hands, Jesus. Make the difference in every life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Give God praise in this place. You that are also at the altar, give God praise for what he's already done for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The plans I have for you, oh, and I know just what you're going through. Oh, and yesterday is through. Remember, I know the plans I have for you. Listen to the words. Since I know the plans I have for you. That's what he says, Jesus. He says, I know just what. Just what you're going through. Oh, you can't see what tomorrow holds, and yesterday is through. Remember, I know the plans I have for you. Come on, say, I know the plans I have for you. Oh, he says, I know just what you're going through. When you can't see, and when you can't see what tomorrow holds,
and your yesterday is true. Remember, I know the plans I have for you. Come on, sing with all your heart. I know, yes I do, the plans I have for you. Oh, I know just what you're going through. When you can't see, you can't see what tomorrow holds. Yesterday is through. Days. Remember, I know the plans I have for you. Come on, sing with all your heart. Yeah, Jesus says, I know the plans I have. Come on, he says it tonight. I know, yeah, I know just what you're going through. You're going through when you can't see, and when you can't see what tomorrow holds. Yesterday, oh, remember, I know the plans I have for you. Come on, one more time with all your heart tonight. Oh, I know. Oh, the plan. Yeah, I know just what you're going through. Hallelujah. When you can't see. Yesterday. Oh, remember, I know the plans I have for you. Struggle is over. The struggle is over for you. The struggle is over. Yeah, the struggle is over. Come on, sing. The struggle is over. Everybody say, the struggle is over for you, say the struggle is over. Hey, the struggle is over. Hey, the struggle is over. I know it is. The struggle is over for you. The struggle is over. Say the struggle. Hallelujah. Say it again. The struggle is over. Everybody say, oh, for you, say the struggle is over. I know it is. Come on, one more time. Hey, the struggle. I believe it is a struggle. Hallelujah, yay. Hey, the struggle. Glory to God. The struggle is. You've been in this place long enough. Your mountain time has been rough. The struggle is over for you. You believe that tonight? I say you believe that tonight? Long enough, your mountainside has been rough. The struggle is over for you. One more time. You've been in this place long enough. You've been in this place long enough. The mountainside has been rough. The struggle is over for you. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Turn around and encourage somebody. Say, it's over, it's over, it's over. It's over, it's over. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. How many just appreciate the Lord tonight? Amen. This has really been wonderful. We thank God. At the beginning of the year, when we started these youth services, we didn't know that it would have such an impact. Are y'all being blessed by the youth services? I know I am really, really being blessed, and we thank you for, you know, you all coming out. And while we're up in South Carolina, we heard from so many people that actually want to come and be a part of our youth services. Amen. Even from up there in South Carolina. So next month we are going to do another one, second weekend in October. But this one will be actually done on a Saturday night rather than a Friday night. Amen. So it'll be the second weekend in October. We'll do another one there. It'll be on Saturday night. So just kind of keep that in mind. And also, we want to invite you all. We as a church, Spirit and Truth, we're celebrating 10 years of ministry this year. And we're happy about what the Lord has done for us. And the last Saturday of this month, we're going to be doing a concert here at the church. So we want to invite you to come and be a part of that. Amen. If you're free. So God bless you. Brother Reginald, God bless you. We appreciate you tonight. Amen. Brother Smiley said something a long time ago. He made a comment when we were at Brother Wesco's and he was preaching. He said, you know, we don't have to send from all over to try to get preachers to come and preach. God got some gifts right here in South Florida. And all we got to do is support the gifts that God gave us. And we heard from a gift of God tonight. And we certainly appreciate him getting himself out of the way and just allowing God to use him. We're going to do this again. Amen. We're going to do this again. We have something for you to eat as you leave. Amen. So please make sure you stop by and pick up something. Let's just have a word of prayer before we leave tonight. God, we thank you. We appreciate you. Lord, this was truly a wonderful, wonderful service tonight. My, how you used Brother Reginald to speak to our hearts. And to, Lord, everything that was done before he even came to speak, Lord, just a real tremendous atmosphere. And God, I believe, Lord, if there's one bound, they do not have to leave here the same way they came. I pray, Lord, that they'll make a determination not to leave here that way. God, he just spoke to so many areas of our life. It was you, Lord. You know all about us. Brother Reginald doesn't know, but you do. So you allowed him to speak, Father, to us, and we just appreciate it. Bless us now as we leave this place, but not your presence. May we meditate on what we heard here in this place tonight, that it might make us better Christians. But we know your prophet told us that we can leave church either one way or the other, either better or worse, and we're determined to leave better Christians. God, we just pray that you bless our fellowship now that we'll have. And Lord, as we're fellowshipping, may we just fellowship around the word and what we were taught, what spoke to our hearts tonight. Don't let the enemy get into anything here tonight. Lord, don't let him bring his atmosphere in anything, Lord. But we just trust that you, God, would just get glory out of everything that was done. And God, bless the food that's been prepared, Lord, brought here for the nourishment of my bodies. Ask that you would, Lord, bless it, remove all impurities. And, oh God, we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise before we go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God richly bless you. You can be seated. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. We want to thank God for all of our visitors that came. God richly bless you. Amen. Certainly welcome to come and sit within our gates at any time. God bless you.
Jesus.